May we pray. Loving God, please take my words and anoint them by your Holy Spirit and our hearts and minds to receive from you the word you have for each of us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, I wonder how many of you thought with that gospel reading, wow, that was topical. And we'll come on to that, but it's very easy to see some very obvious links when it talks about there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. And people will faint with fear and foreboding and all of that. But before we go down there, let's start with the first two readings. And because I think there's something there about time and or the ordering of time and holding our hope in the midst of these things. Jeremiah, the first reading, of course, Jeremiah didn't have a very happy life. Jeremiah, bless him, you know, yeah, he didn't have it easy, being thrown down dry wells and kind of like always being disappointed and being told by God, and by the way, they're not going to listen to a word you say. So why bother? Well, I want to make sure that they hear the word. Okay. And it's that kind of life, right? So that's Jeremiah, and we have that going on there. But yet, in Jeremiah, you see some beautiful words coming forth in the midst of challenge, in the midst of fear and anxiety, because the days of Jeremiah were anxious times. And so what do we see? The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. What was that promise? Well, you can go back to Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. We talk about the traditional patriarchs, or we could talk about the matriarchs, you know, but the promise that is given. Then, of course, we have a renewed covenant in the time of King David, which was that if David's successor follows the way of God, then there will always be someone on David's throne from his family. And so this is the promises that are being made. It's like the big cosmic kind of promises at the beginning, in the early stages, with the patriarchs and matriarchs, begins to get greater clarity when we come to the time of King David. And we're told about this promise of this line will continue, if your successors obey me. Well, that did not happen. It didn't even last a generation. As those of you who listen in on morning prayer, you'll know I often refer to Solomon, because Solomon is somebody who started so well as king. He asked for wisdom to rule the people well. Great request from God. And God was so impressed that he gave him that wisdom, but also gave him money and reputation and all the rest of it. So he got that plus the bonus, the whatever that is. But his life, gradually, he became distracted. He disobeyed God in some fairly fundamental ways, and that led him to a cooling of the relationship with God. And that had consequences not just for Solomon, it had consequences for the people too, because the people began to hate Solomon, because he was a ruthless and unkind and cruel king towards the end of his life. And so the people hated him towards the end. And he became so cold to God that actually God visited him again in a vision and he turns his back on him. So much, the relationship was cooled so much. So Solomon started so well, but he did not finish so well. But because of his father David, God said, I will not take this kingdom from him. But then when Solomon's son becomes king, you know, the people come saying, please don't be as nasty as your dad. Give us a break. And Solomon's son decided to do exactly the opposite, saying, ha, you thought my dad was bad? You wait and see what I'm going to do to you. And so what that resulted in is that the bulk of the kingdom said, well, goodbye, we're off. And the kingdom split. And so then you have Israel and Judah, and there's a whole history that goes with all that. So the truth is that the people did not, as David's family, did not keep the promise with God. They did not remain faithful to God. So God did not have to honor the covenant because they had reneged on it. And yet, and here's something about the character of God, God still wanted to honor that pledge. And he did so in a very creative way. And it was by going down one of the lines of David, one of the poor lines of David, and ends up with some guy called Joseph, a carpenter, who becomes, of course, the earthly father of Jesus. And so within this whole thing, that pledge and covenant to Christ the King is maintained. There's something about the heart of God that kind of still wants to honor it, even at the time when the people have dishonored. Wants to hold in there, wants to press into that relationship. So that's what we get here, and we get this promise that there will be someone to sit on the throne of David again. Jeremiah. And then we have the letter to the church in Thessalonica, which is just a beautiful letter. This is a pastoral letter to a church saying, you guys are and girls are amazing. You're fabulous. And we can't wait to be with you. And we long for the day when we will see you and we'll come. And any gaps in your knowledge, any gaps in your experience, we'll attempt to fill them for you. But you are wonderful and you're a great community of faith. Therefore, love one another. It's a reminder again. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he strengthen your hearts in holiness, that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. And so we are called. And here's the prayer, isn't it? And it's a prayer we can take here at St. Paul's. May the Lord make us increase and abound in love for one another and for all. That's a great prayer, isn't it? That we abound in love for one another and for all. Something for us to reflect on this Advent season. And then we come to the gospel reading. Some of you have already mentioned to me at different times, are we at the end times? Because of all that's going on in the world. And the answer to that question is, I have absolutely no idea. But it's not something I particularly dwell on myself, because I know that we are to anticipate a world that is struggling, and so we see it. And so that's what I see in this reading, which we find here. We have the roaring of the sea and the waves, of course. That has a resonance for us here in Canada, both on the East Coast as well as the West Coast. Is also, I saw some fairly graphic pictures from where I come from, where again, the waters were reaching over the cliffs. So, you know, it's there and it's scary. And we have this unprecedented weather events. In British Columbia, we've had 3 states of emergency, which have to do with the climate. We have had the heat dome. Remember that in the summer? Seems a long time ago now, but it was super hot and super dry and super burny. Then we had the wildfires, and now we have the devastation of these floods. It's extraordinary times that we live in. And many people around the world are saying the same things. They are saying we're living in these unprecedented times with the weather. Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Italy, Africa. There's all sorts of places you could go to where you can say that there's this compression of severe weather events, and it is scary, and it is frightening, let's be honest. At least at times you feel, gosh, what's going on? And so we have that, and I suppose the reassurance we find is that this is mentioned and anticipated. Do I have the answer for all the issues around it? No. And so part of what I need to do is to hold the mystery and the uncertainty. I don't know the answers to a lot of this stuff, and I guess nor do you either. But I think what we will find in here is what I wanted to dwell on was, first of all, just to acknowledge that sense of insecurity and that sense that we may have of anxiety in these days. And how do we develop practices to be non-anxious in these days? How do we do that when there is so much bad news, there's so much in relation to health fears and all the rest of it that we have to address? And then, I suppose for me, we find words that give us hope in the midst of this struggle. Now, I'm looking at the second half of the gospel reading. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. I just wanted to kind of stop there for a moment. Be on your guard so your hearts are not weighed down. How is your heart today? Do you feel weighed down? Do you feel joyful? What do you feel? And it's worth every so often, every day if you can, to just check in and see, how is it with my heart? Am I okay, or am I feeling anxious? And to think about that, why am I feeling anxious? Is it because, well, you know, it could be all sorts of reasons for that. And so we're asked to consider that and reflect on that. And do not let your heart become weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. Now, those of you from a Victorian morality school will love that, because it just sounds like dissipation and drunkenness. So we have the wagging finger thing, and people all go, oh, good, now we're on to proper Christianity, and we're giving people shame and guilt and, you know, all of that stuff. Dissipation, what is it to dissipate? Is it we become more fragmented? Dissipate for me is kind of like we're all apart, if you will. And for me, dissipation isn't always about going off and living a life that others might frown upon. It is about the fact that we may live in a fragmented way with lots of different parts, and we feel that we're not kind of like a cohesive whole. So for me, that would be a way of looking at that. Drunkenness, okay. Drunkenness is being out of control and more of that. And the worries of this life. It's so easy to focus on the morality stuff, but we also can be consumed by worries. Some of us worry more than others. This isn't a judgment on you for that. But it is to say, are the things that you worry about really things to worry about? I am almost 51, actually. In a couple of weeks' time, I'll be 51. And as you get older, you suddenly realize, gosh, I used to really stress and strain about that. And now I realize, why did I waste so much time and effort on that? Did you ever have that experience where you reflect on your life thinking, why was I so stressed about that or anxious about that? Why did I make such a fuss about that? Anybody? Nobody? I do, okay? So we have that. And I suppose for me, when I reflect on this, I think about the fact that it is worth developing a daily practice where we consider, what am I worried about? What am I allowing the worries of my life to come in on that? And is there anything I can do to remove those worries or to reduce those worries? It may be that you're worried about your family. It may be you're worried about the weather, the state of the affairs of the world, the environment, your own health. There could be lots of different reasons that you're worried. How could you share those worries? Often I find that people hold on to their worries to themselves, and they don't want to be a burden on somebody else. And actually, when you do get it out there and you share it with somebody else, have you ever found that the worry, it really stops being so heavy on you? And so we should learn to share appropriately with somebody and make sure we're not holding on to worries we don't need to. Also, don't take on other people's worries either. That's another really important discipline. For some of you, you need to not read the newspapers or listen to the news these days. Do you remember the days, I think they happened in Canada too, when you had like news maybe three times a day? You know, the morning news, lunchtime, evening, and that was it. You know, it wasn't 24/7. Whereas now it's 24/7 and it is unrelenting. And that can be anxiety inducing. Some people spend too much time on social media. It's been proven that if you spend too much time every day on social media, it will affect your mental health and well-being. Sometimes watching certain types of television programs. In the UK, the ones that are bad for your mental health is EastEnders, Coronation Street, and in Emmerdale Farm, but it's called Emmerdale now. And those are proven to be not good for your health, you know? So I don't know what they are in Canada, but do you see my point? It's that some of those things are just not helpful because they're so negative. And you don't need to dwell there, right? You don't need to dwell there. So to tie this up and bring this to something else, what I think we should try and do is develop those practices where we do not worry so much, but also we have something to look forward to. What I find is helpful myself, and I hope it's for others too, is that when I reflect on the fact that God in Christ is going to make all things new, and there's going to be a sense that there'll be a new creation, a new earth and a new heaven. What it is a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. It is one that is free from pain and suffering. One where there is no more sin, no more death, no more grief, and where every tear has been wiped away. That is what we look forward to. I hope that helps you, that hope helps you to live well today. Amen.